let me reiterate again. You folks, if you can see, fine. I don't know how visible it will be. But one of the things I want you to do this week, if you have that ability, is take notes. Okay? Take notes. And the Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith. And the only way you can do that is if you know something. And a lot of the things that you'll get today and this week may just be kind of piecemeal. And but if you write everything down, the Lord will use all that as you study your Bible, as you study the issues that are we're going to look at this week, to bring that knowledge to your heart so you can use it. And so don't just sit back. And it's not about entertainment this week, okay? It's about school. All right? So get your pens out, notebooks. What are you waving at me there? Oh, turn your cell phones off. Yeah, how about that? If we move it that way and forward. Okay. Is that, as long as you don't fall off. Yeah. All right. Most of you will know, and I'll introduce the speakers as we come through this week. Brother Gipp has, again, everybody that's going to speak this week has contributed greatly to the King James issue. And those who are in opposition are, that's fine. There's all kind of room for disagreement, and we don't have a problem with those that don't believe what we believe. But it's kind of unusual when they resort to intimidation in order to influence the issue. You know, I've read several articles this week about the cult. Number one, if you go back and look up the definition of a cult, they really are only expressing their ignorance, because you couldn't call what we believe cultic, not by any definition of what a cult is. But when you don't have the facts, you resort to intimidation, and nobody likes being called a cultist. And so there you go. Well, we won't believe that because somebody might think we're a cult. But you sit back and listen today, and you'll know why they resort to intimidation. Okay? And God will give you some good stuff this week. Brother Sam Gipp, come teach us.
Well, I feel like I'm going to get shot. Which I probably am, but that's a whole different story. All right. Well, it is good to be saved, isn't it? And it is good to be in church. I was looking for an extra copy of these notes. I'd like to have them, make them and give them to you folks. Let me just check something here, and we'll maybe get these up, because some of you are going to be copying this stuff down. But I don't think I have them. All right. Open your Bibles to two places. And let me, I hate to have to tell you this, but I'm a King James Bible believer. Well, the reason I say that is because now, before I got saved, I played poker. Okay, before, and you know, there's a thing in poker. You know, it's where I'll see you and raise you. You've probably never heard of that, Bill. But anyway, and there is that in the Bible believing realm. There are guys that it's kind of like, well, you believe the King James? I believe it even more than you do. You know, that kind of thing. I'll see your conviction and raise you one. And there is a conviction. If I can find this book in my Bible, here it is. Joel. Go to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Get Joel chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 11. And I want to say this, guys. I don't mean this in a arrogant way. I work hard. I study hard. I spend most of my days writing. People always ask me, how do you write them books? I said, I don't have a good golf swing. You know, you can choose one or the other, but you can't choose them both. And so, but I want you to know, I just finished a book. It took 10 times through the Bible, 3-year study. I'm working on another book. It's been 8 years working on it. And so I resent people that I call it shallow Bible study. And what they do is they come up with some kind of I believe it even more than you do, you know, because what they do is they'll say, well, I got you. I got everything you believe plus this. And, we're going to go to Joel. I want you to read something, because this goes on in our churches. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to mention names. I don't care about names. But I'll tell you who does this. Look at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 24. The floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Look at chapter 3, verse, I believe it is 13. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now, I have a question. How many of you people in those two verses had the word fats, F F-A-T-S. See your hands. See your hands. All right, how many of you had not fats, but VATS, V-A-T-S? Okay, would you folks please leave the building? You're stinking, rotten compromisers, and you don't believe the Bible, and we actually hate you in Jesus' name. Here's what that is. That one of them will say fats. And one says V-A-T-S, VATS. And you'll have somebody come in and do that. And what they'll do, you guys have VATS, V-A-T-S, they'll go, you don't have a real King James Bible. Look, I have a problem with somebody that comes into a King James Bible believing church, and when they leave, the King James Bible believers are at each other's throat over who's got the real book. If that's of God, we got the wrong God. Because God is not the author of confusion. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 11. And look at verse 9. It says, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He H-O-U-G-H-E-D. I will say for the sake of it, hewed their horses and burnt their chariots in fire. All right. So my Bible, the real one. Says hewed. How many of you have that spelling? How many of you have this? Hocked. H-O-C-K-E-D. How many of you have that? Okay, you can leave too. Now, here's what you'll get. You'll get this. And I'll tell you who does this, guys. I'll tell you this. I am all for the King James Bible. I am all for churches printing Bibles. But it'll be somebody with a printing ministry of some kind that wants your money. And they're printing a King James Bible, and so they're going to get you to give your money to them. And so what they'll do is they'll start saying, you guys that if your Bible says VATS, V-A-T-S, or HOCKED, H-O-C-K-E-D, you don't have a real King James Bible because they've even changed the spelling on yours. See, they changed your Bible and you don't even know it. And all of a sudden you're going, oh, no, oh, no. And then you got somebody across the aisle going, yeah. And so the answer is we have come up with an answer. And I'll tell you, believe it or not, I'll tell you, I read all the time. And I was reading a book on airplanes that got the answer. I mean, I pray. Guys, look, I don't look for an answer. I look for the answer. Because if you get the answer, you're done. Okay? You get an answer, then somebody pops up with something different. And here's what I was reading. I was reading about these three guys back in the early 20s, back when flight was in its infancy. These three guys from Scotland, they were two brothers and a cousin of theirs. They started this airplane company, and these guys' name was Lowhead, which really makes Gip sound pretty good. Okay. And they started the Lowhead, which low, I'm with you all the way. I don't know. But they started the Lowhead airplane company and it failed. I wanted to say it crashed, but it failed. And so they tried it again and it failed. And so they said, all right, let's give it another shot. But they said, let's spell our name the way it's pronounced. So they started what you know as Lockheed. This looks like Lowhead to you and I, but it's not. That is Lockheed. In fact, we were over in Scotland last year, and they talk about those locks. Sometimes it's L-O-C-H, sometimes it's L-O-U-G-H. But that L-O-U-G-H is low. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't blurt out the answer because you'll want to show everybody you know something and you'll be wrong. Okay? Well, I'm trying. Look, I do not try to embarrass people from the pulpit. I really don't. But I'd sure like a glass of water. If I could get somebody a glass of water, I could. Thank you very much, brother. Anyway, what is the smallest unit that God promised of preservation? What was the smallest unit of preservation God promised? Now, here's what people say. As soon as you say that, somebody goes, a yacht and a general. No. No, Jesus Christ said the jots and tittles be around until the law is fulfilled. And didn't he say on the cross, it is finished? Didn't he fulfill the law? And I got news for you, the jots and tittles are gone. I've heard guys say this. Now, guys, I hate to tell you this, man, but good preaching isn't always good teaching. And you hear somebody say this, well, jot and a tittle, that's like the dot of an I and the cross of a T. You ever hear that? Well, you take that teaching and put it between two pieces of bread and you got a bologna sandwich. Do you know what? The dot of an I is not a whole letter, is it? No. The crossbar of a T, is that a whole letter? No, it is not. A jot is an entire letter. It may be the smallest letter in Hebrew alphabet. A tittle may be a small letter, but it's an entire letter. But you never found any place in the Bible where God said, I'll preserve it to the letter. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my what? My words shall not pass away. It says the words of the Lord are pure words. And so the Bible teaches us that the smallest unit of preservation is a word, not a letter. And see, and that's where this is where I become an infidel. This is where somebody says, see, Gip only thinks it's words, but I raise him one. I go to the letters. Well, come back to reality. Okay? And you'll get guys that'll do this. Take a look at, you might want to mark, if you're writing some things down, write down these verses. Write down Psalm 12, verse 6. That is, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried a furnace worth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You might mark down, and I'll give these to somebody so we can make you a copy. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, where it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 30. You can go on over there. Proverbs 30. And look at verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And then look at Revelation chapter 22. Now, guys, I'm giving you verses that say that the preservation, smallest unit of preservation is a word. And you're going to have to scrounge one up that says it's a letter if you're going to teach that as a Bible doctrine. If you want to get behind a pulpit and snow people, you can have yourself a time. And even in our churches, people can be snowed. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words, there it is, the words, not the letters, the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So, guys, God says that the smallest unit of preservation is a word, not a letter. Do you know what a wine fat is? A wine fat is a wine vat. That is the same word spelled two different ways. This hewed, we pronounce it hewed. That's not hewed at all. That is, now again, guys, I got a Webster's 1828, okay? And it's not my final authority. My final authority is on this pulpit. I do keep in mind that Webster's dictionary came out 200 years after our Bible, right? So you're not going to define the Bible by it, but it's a good place to go every now and then. And if you look up Hugh, if you got a Webster, look up H-O-U-G-H, and right after that, it has the pronunciation. Now, for H-O-C-K, the pronunciation is H-O-K, hawk. If you look at 1828 Webster's and look up H-O-U-G-H, right after that is the pronunciation hawk. That is hawk. That's not me stretching it. That is hawk. And if you think about this, remember when Moses, you know, the only man in history to break all 10 commandments on the same day. And the Bible says that God hewed a stone, a new tablet out. Well, check it out. It's hewed like this. So that's hewed. That's not hewed. That's hawked. So what you've got is you've got the very same word. Now, I know the door that I open with this. I don't like opening that door. The door that I open, thank you for the water. The door that I open is somebody from Zondervan or somebody from World or somebody from some other publishing company is going to say, well, then you don't mind if we update the spelling on the King James Bible. I don't trust those guys with anything. No, I don't want them to mess with it. I really don't. And if you want to know the truth, I feel more comfortable that my Bible does say fats and H-O-U-G-H. I feel more comfortable, but these are just as much the Word of God. Now, here's what you're going to get, because and even though you're going to say, or my critic is going to say, I believe the King James more than Gip does, that, have them call me. If they tell you that, have them call me, and we'll take care of that right away, okay? But they'll say this, okay, I'll see your King James Bible belief and raise you. You believe the words are preserved. I even believe the letters. And so now they'll go off on a new point on their sermon. And the new point on the sermon will be, you know, letters are important. Letters mean things. Okay. And so I'm concerned about the letters. Now, here's why I'm trying to show you this. I am trying to, if our adversaries, if the anti-King James people get wind of this foolishness, you are going to set yourself up. Because if you're going to shoot your mouth off right now and say, well, no, I don't care what he says, you know, the letters mean something. That's just because you can intimidate a brother in Christ. That is the only reason, guys. You know, I always say this, in lieu of conviction, intimidation will work. And you're going to intimidate your brothers in the Lord. But what's going to happen is you're going to shoot your mouth off about the letters being important. And you know what some anti-King James guy is going to come along and say to you? Letters are important, right?
Yeah, that means something to me.
Oh, really? And you use 1611 King James Bible, right?
I sure do.
Why do you use a King James Bible and it doesn't spell son like that? Guys, if you got a facsimile of a King James 1611, son was spelled S-O-N-N-E. Now, let me ask you a question. That's S-O-N for all of you in the back row. That's S-O-N. What does that pronounce? What does that spell? That's S-O-N-N-E from a King James Bible 1611. What does that spell? You going to tell me they're two different words? Because if you're going to tell me that the letters are important, now you're all in trouble, aren't you? You're all in trouble because nobody's got a Bible in your lap that spells it S-O-N-N-E. Isn't that correct? Now, do you see what happens when you go with this kind of stuff? This is people that do not study at all. Guys, I'm telling you, I study. I work. And you get these guys that don't study, and then they come in and they want to get a check out of you. You know, well, we believe the local church. Try this. Do you have a Bible that was printed by the world? Like what? It's not inspired? You know, I heard a guy say this one time. You know, they might have had pornography on the press just before they printed your Bible. I went, tell me, if it's printed by the world, it's not the Word of God?
Well, we just believe the local church should take care of it.
Hey, I do too. I really do. I'm all for it. But those guys don't believe the local church should take care of it. I don't care what they say. You know how you know? If you had one of those guys in this pulpit playing this fats, vats, hewed, hocked, all that stuff game with you, and having you people fighting each other as he's walking out of here counting his cash, and he said, well, we just believe that the local church should print the Bible. If your pastor came up right after that and said, I agree 100%. This brother is right. The local church should present the Bible, should print the Bible. And you'd say, you know what? We're taking $10,000. And he'll go, and he'll say, and we're buying a press so we can print the Bible. And he'd go, no, we already have a press. Because he doesn't believe the local church should print the Bible. He believes you should give him money while his church does. If the local church should, then your church should be doing it too. Aren't you kind of like ducking your responsibility if you're not doing it? So, let me take you to the next logical step because I know what went through your mind. All right? Everybody here is using the King James Bible that does not spell like they did in 1611. And then you'll get a guy, and I know guys that do this, they'll say, well, I'll just go get a 1611 facsimile. Well, let me show you a couple of things. Let me show you what happened in 1611. They spelled Ben, all right, B-E-E-N. They spelled it B-E-N-E. Hey, there's the same letters. See, the letters have been preserved. Yeah, but I'll raise you one in the right order. Hey, does anybody have a 1611 facsimile? I don't imagine you have one here. You got one? Look at John 3:16 sometime. You know what it says? For God so loved ye world. Doesn't say the. You say, oh, it doesn't? Well, actually it does. You see, ye in 1611 was another way to say this. The. If you look at a 1611 facsimile, Nelson did one. Let me tell you, Thomas Nelson Publishers did one in 1982. Do you know why they did it? All of our guys thought, "Oh, look, man, they did a 1611 facsimile just for us." Yeah, they did. It was just for you. You know what else? Kate, what else Thomas Nelson published in 1982? New King James, exactly. And they published them both at the same time. And then they went to bookstores and taught the guys in the bookstores, if somebody comes in and wants a King James, sell them a new King James. And if they say, no, I insist on the 1611, go over to the shelf and pull this and say, can you read this? And they say, oh, you're making this up. No, no, no. In 1982, 83, I was pastoring in upstate New York. I had a lady in my church went to a bookstore in Syracuse to buy a King James Bible. And this young punk salesman kept telling her, oh, she wants, you don't want a King James, can't read it, blah, blah, blah. She said, no, I want a King James. She goes, oh, you want a 1611 King James Bible? Yeah, that's what I want. He walked over and got the facsimile and opened it up, smugly opened it up, handed it to her and said, here, can you read that? Well, if you've ever seen one, the typesetting is Gothic. It's just a type. It's a font. They were using Roman in other books, Times Roman at that time. Why the printer decided to go Gothic? It's been a problem to us ever since. But it's just a font. And so you've got letters spelled like words spelled like this in a Gothic font. And she said, I can't. And he said, well, if you insist that I sell you a 1611 King James Bible, that's what I've got to sell you. She left there crying. He would have left there crying the day I went over, but he wasn't at work. I went over hunting him. I'm telling you, I went over. You say, why? Because you're not making a lady in my church cry. Leastways, not in a Bible bookstore. It shouldn't happen. All right? But if you got a 1611, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says the only begotten Son. And I think in verse 17, it said he is the, or 17 or 18, it says he's the only Son of God. Hey, you know what onely is? That is another spelling for only. In 1611, they spelled four with an E on the end. So you golfers would have to say it longer. Or maybe that's how they did it. Four E. They spelt years. Y-E-E-R-E-S. Now, I'm telling you the spelling. It's the same word, okay? Now, but I know where the self-righteous brethren go because I deal with the guys all the time. And here's what somebody's going to want to say. Then I'll just go get a 1611 facsimile. And I'll use that. And I'll come to church and I'll be more right than everybody else in the church. I got a book. It's a reproduction of a book from 1824. No, I got another for 1824. This one, this is something like around 1816. And in this book, the author studied three different King James Bibles. Now, when I say King James Bibles, I'm talking about three King James Bibles that he had. That on the title page is printed 1611. I mean, that they were printed. The date of their printing was 1611, not 1611, 1612, and 1613. This guy had three big old Bibles that were printed in 1611. Here's what he came up with. I'm going to call them A and B and C. And in Bible A, in Genesis 48:8, His King James Bible spelled the word said, S-A-I-D-E. Now, that same way we spell it, except for the extra E at the end, correct? His others printed in 1611 King James Bible spelled said, S-A-Y-D-E. And Bible C spelled it S-A-Y-D. So now you've got three 1611, printed in 1611 King James Bibles, and in the same verse, Genesis 48:8, one of them spells said S-A-I-D-E, the other one is S-A-Y-D-E, and the other one is S-A-Y-D. So which 1611 are you going to get? I know which one. I know which one. You're going to get this one. Say, how do you know? Because that's the best one? No, that's the one they reproduced. That reproduction that Nelson did and sold it to, I think, Hendrickson or some other company. They produced one. And I've got it. And it's basically, I call it D. But it's basically this one. Okay? So if you go out and buy a 1611 facsimile, you're going to be getting this one. But how do you know? Let me ask you a question. This is a tough question. You want to think long and hard before you just shout the answer out. What does that spell? Pardon? Said. Shut up, Bill. It spells said, right? Somebody tell Bill. And that spells said. And that spells said. Hey, I got news for you. That spells said. That's four spellings for the exact same word. So letters have changed. Has the word been preserved? And what is the smallest unit of preservation promised by God Himself? You're going to make a deal out of something. You know what happens, guys? I always say this. I'll show you something. I'm going to ask you four questions. And I may ask this somewhere during the week anyway. Mary. Was she the mother of Jesus? Was she the mother of God? Was she a virgin when Jesus was born? Was she a perpetual virgin? So two out of four questions you answer. You answer them all right. Two of them are yes and two of them are no, right? But a Roman Catholic believes all four are yes. When you put more emphasis on something than God does, you end up with an idol. I just saw a statue of Mary in a yard the other day. I said, Mary, what are you doing here? She said, Rigatoni, I don't know. She had the worst case of heartburn I ever saw. I saw one where Mary's, the paint was peeling off her nose. I went to knock on their door and say, excuse me, but your God needs repainted. You know, we preach repent, they preach repaint. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to put more emphasis on it than God does, you're going to end up with an idol somewhere. Now, it's not going to be the Bible. So it's going to be somebody teaching you something. In these three, in this study, Bible A spells vial, or veil, vial, vial, V-I-A-L-L. Bible B spells it V-I-O-L-L. And Bible C spells it V-I-O-L. Now, I'm talking about three 1611 King James Bibles. You understand? What I'm trying to show you is that do you have the perfect Bible in your hand? Yes. If God preserved His book, you should be able to get it, right? Well, I mean, come on, guys. You guys got more than one. You guys got the one your parents bought you when you were 8 years old. Right? If it's down to the right spelling, how are you ever going to get the perfect Word of God? Especially if it just happened to be that one. Because this is the one they reproduced. That's the one they reprinted. But if it's the words, then you've got the perfect Bible in your lap. In 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 9, in Bible A, it says, ye be. Y-E-B-E. And then in Bible B, it spells it Y-E-E. B-E-E. So one is ye be, another is ye be. And Bible C is Y-E-E-B-E. Yeeby. But you see what happens, guys. You end up in with you say, well, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. You can't explain it if you're going to try to make a big deal out of letters. But if you're going to believe what Jesus Christ said, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my letters will not pass away. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? Excuse me. Wouldn't want to add to the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Then you know what you've got this one saying? You got this one saying ye be, and this one saying ye be, and this one saying ye be. You got three King James Bibles all reading the same. You know why? Because they all read the same. That's why. Let me give you a couple more here. I'm trying to. Here's one where it spells shall be, and it's all one word. S-H-A-L-B-E, shall be. Now, that's probably the way they do it when they text. And in Bible B, it is spelled the way we would spell it, two words. S-H-A-L-L, space, B-E. And then in the other one, it's S-H-A-L-B-E, two words, but the shall is spelled different. Guys, all I'm trying to tell you, I don't want anybody walking out here saying, well, I believe King James Bible more gift us. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I hate to say this, you haven't studied it more. Okay? You haven't studied it more. You don't believe it more. You don't love it more. But I'm telling you, you're going to do this kind of stuff just to snow somebody. You know what this is? This is what I call pyrotechnics. You come up on a pulpit and you shoot some fireworks off and everybody goes, ooh and ah, and I never saw one like that before. And then the people that have a different spelling for a word in there get castigated by half of the congregation because they don't really have the perfect word of God. But I'll give you something even better than that. In this one here, D, which I told you, if you've got a facsimile at home, the one they copied is A. So you have these spellings here. So in my facsimile, in Genesis 48:18, the word said is spelled S-A-I-D-E. But if I go all the way over to Genesis chapter 48, verse 19, the very same word is spelled S-A-I-D. Then if I look at Judges chapter 19 and verse 8, the word said is spelled S-A-Y-D. And in 1 Samuel 15:15. The word said is spelled S-A-Y-D-E. Guys, that's not four different editions of the King James Bible. That's not four different years published. That's not four different Bibles. That is the same one, the word said, spelled four different ways in the same Bible. Now, if you're gonna make a big deal, beat your chest, and talk about how you believe the King James Bible more than anybody else, based on spelling, you better not read a 1611 King James Bible. What does Doc say? The Bible only mess up a lot of teaching because you got the word said spelled four different ways. Let me ask you this, guys. I don't know if you can handle this. In fact, I'll give you this one. I'll give you this one. In Ezra, that's a good name. In Ezra. Chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, ye, in the same verse, ye. It spells ye two different ways in the same verse. Now, stop and think about it. You, with your conviction on spelling, you got a bigger conviction on spelling than the translators have? You got a greater conviction on spelling than the Lord has when he spelled it? The same word, two ways, in the very same verse. Guys, I believe the book. I really do. And I believe exactly what it says. You know what it says? It says, my words shall not pass away. Now, you ready for this? I'm glad you're sitting down for this one. Do you know that you have words in your Bible that weren't in 1611? And there's nothing wrong with it. You have a word in your Bible. It appeared in the 1611, but there are places where it did not appear, but it appears in yours. Oh, can't be. Oh, I want to get a 1611. Oh, you don't need it. You don't need it. You know what you got? You've got this word. And. You know what replaces that in a 1611? An ampersand. Does anybody know what this means? Examples. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 23, it says in a 1611, eyes and put. It does not have the word and in it. Yours has the word and in it. You say mine's wrong? Nope. Then that's wrong. Nope. Let me ask you a question, guys. I hate this. This is a real tough one. But when in 1611, when somebody opened up their 1611 King James Bible and they came to Mark chapter 8, verse 23, and they read that, what do you think they said? You think it said, eyes, squiggly line, put. Eyes, oh, they couldn't even say traffic circle. They didn't have them back then. Okay, I've driven on that road right there. Well, what do you think they said when they came to that word right there all four times in 1611? They said. In Mark chapter 8 again and verse 28. It says Elias and others. And it has an ampersand for the word and. Now, I'll tell you why they did this. I mean, you know, I don't know if there's anybody here that's a printer from the days when they used lead type. Your finger's probably going to fall off. But you ever stop and think, guys, that they laid out a book backwards, letter by letter. Every word was spelled backwards, one letter at a time. And then they put spaces, little spaces to fill out the line or between the words. And do you know the most used letter in the alphabet? E. When guys break codes, you know how they do it? One of the ways they do it is they find the symbol used the most and figure that's an E and go from there. Believe it or not, that's one of the ways that they break codes. And but second most used letter is A. Now, one of the words that we use a lot is and. And so you could run out of A's. If you're single letter typesetting, you could run out of A's pretty quick, couldn't you? So they used an ampersand. And when you read, well, look, when those guys read the ampersand, they said and. Now, you can call me anything you want, but I'm telling you, that book in your lap is absolutely word perfect. Okay? It is word perfect. You say, what about letters? I'm not making a claim for it. God did. But if the word is there, it must be okay. So, guys, all I'm telling you is you're going to get these guys. They'll come along and they'll shoot off their pyrotechnics and they'll try to impress you because they want your money. I'm sorry. That's what they want. Look, I got nothing against churches printing Bibles. I really don't. The day may come when that is the only way you're going to get a Bible. I will tell you this. I had a guy working for me. Oh, this happened probably 10 years ago. And he was talking to a lady from Oxford Press in England. And you know, they print everything now. You know, they print all, I mean, not every Bible, but they print several different versions. And he said, what percentage of the Bibles, this is about 10 years ago, what percentage of the Bibles you print are King James? And I think her answer was 65%. Now, with all these translations, you'd think it'd be down to like 2%. Or say, you know, because you always hear that. It's one of those scare things you hear every week. They're going to quit printing King James Bibles. You know, look, here's what's going to go on. You put a printing press in your church. That's fine. You can print any King James Bible you want. Isn't that true? But you can't because the notes are copyrighted or the dates are copyrighted. or the concordance is copyrighted. So here's what this guy is going to do. He's going to sell you not an inferior Bible as far as the words, but inferior as far as study. Now, because he can't give you any marginal notes. He can't give you any dates. He can't give you a concordance. And so now he's got to make those things look unattractive. And he'll go, oh, you have man's notes in your Bible. You have the words of a man in your Bible. Can I tell you guys something? You know what I really like? I like to be reading in Romans and find an Old Testament quote and look in the margin and see it comes from Isaiah chapter 11 and not have to reinvent the wheel. Well, I'll tell you one thing I don't do, brother. I am not. You know, somebody asked Einstein how many feet there were in a mile. You know what he said? I don't know. He said, I don't know. They said, what? They said, you know all this? He said, never commit to memory what you can find in a book. In other words, I mean, if you can't find out how many feet there are in a mile, you know, that's just not one of those things you have to have memorized. Just so happens that I know there's 421. But what I'm saying is that he was going to use his brain for something more important. Now, guys, look, you got time to burn. I don't have time to burn. You got time to burn? You want to go find where all those the references, quotes of the Old Testament in the New Testament, where they are. You're going to go back to the Old Testament and look them all up. And what are you going to do? Write it in the margin. There's nothing wrong with marginal notes. I use an old Scofield Bible. I don't read his notes unless I want to laugh. Except for the one that he put there in 1907. And it's a reference to Israel being in the land. And he says, this is a reference to Israel being in the land because someday they will be back in the land. I give him credit for that. Okay? I'll give him credit for that one. But I don't read his notes. I got used to the format of the page when I first got saved. It was an old Scofield that I ended up getting. I had a guy actually say this. You should have a different Bible. You know, like buy an Oxford this time. Next time use a Cambridge. Next time use a Scofield. So that you don't get used to the page layout. Is there something wrong with that? I mean, that I know that the verse I'm looking for is on the left side of the page, right column, halfway down. You mean I've got to go, oh, that was in the last Bible I had. I'm sorry. No, yeah, it's not worth it. Man, I'm telling you guys, I don't want to twist my brain in knots. I've got stuff to do with it, and it's not reinventing the wheel and rediscovering all of the references. So here this guy's going to do, he's going to say a King James Bible, but he's got to make all of you people with VATS Bibles and Hocht Bibles, he's got to make you feel inferior, and then the rest of it he's going to get with your man's notes. And he's going to sell you a Bible. And you know what you're going to do? Now you're going to have to walk around and you're going to have to convince yourself you got something better than anybody else. And in comes pride. So we introduce pride into our churches in the name of the Word of God. So some guy can walk out of your church with a fat check in his wallet. You say, well, he's going to print Bibles with it. He's going to do a very good thing with it. You're absolutely right. He's going to print Bibles. I can't think of hardly a better thing to do. Maybe print some tracts or help a missionary somewhere. But yes, I'm just printing the Word of God. I'm all for it. Okay? But I'm telling you, if you've got a Bible and it's got marginal notes, there's nothing wrong with that. I didn't even say there's nothing wrong with every note. There might be a note that's bad. I mean, Scofield's got he says some stupid stuff. Okay? Well, you aren't going to get any note Bible, any study Bible. If you agree 100% with every note in every study Bible, man, you are worshiping somebody, and it's not the Lord. You've got to read a note somewhere and go, oh, can you believe this guy said this? I wonder what he was smoking that day. All right? So, guys, I'm gonna give this to you. And like I said, I'll give this to somebody, and we'll copy these off, and then we'll lay them out here somewhere. I usually have two copies of my Bible, and I didn't. But the truth and the facts are that if you have a Bible and it has the Word in there, just because you... Now, I'm going to say it again. I don't want them to change any more spelling. I'm not for it. I am not for it. And I know you're going to say, well, you're making it so they can. Well, you're making it so that the anti-King James people can tie us in knots by showing us three different spellings in three different versions or four editions or four different spellings in the very same one. Now, how do you if letters are important and spelling is important, what are you going to do? This is the way. Oh, I know what it is. I know it. I just got it from God. Thank you. God irresistibly inspired said to be spelled that way only in Genesis chapter 48, verse 18. But he inspired it to be spelled that way in the next verse. And he inspired it to be spelled that way. It's all inspiration. Maybe God don't know how to spell. Forgive me for that. I don't want to sound irreverent. But I'm not trying to be irreverent to God. I'm trying to be irreverent to an idiot out there somewhere. So guys, if your Bible says wine fats or fats, you have the right word. And look. I'm going to get, because I know where you're going to go. In fact, let's go there. Somebody's going to come up to me. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Look, I don't mind doing stuff, but I really, I shouldn't have to be your brain. I mean, it's just amazing how many people, it's like, oh, well, answer this because I might have to think if you don't. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. How many say throughly? How many say thoroughly? Okay. Before you come up and preach your sermon on the differences between throughly and thoroughly, let me ask you one question. Well, let me ask you a question. I think I know the answer. Is this Bible your final authority in all matters of faith and practice?
Yes.
Then I'm going to give you a challenge. Of course, you won't do it. You'll go to your computer or you'll go to your electric concordance and do it because you're too lazy to read the book. But the next time you read your Bible, every time the words, I didn't say through or thorough. I said throughly and thoroughly. Every time, because both words appear in this book. Every time thoroughly appears, see if thoroughly doesn't fit. Every time thoroughly appears, see if thoroughly doesn't fit. I'm sorry, you can talk about example and ensample all day long, being, one is an example to follow, the other is a taste. Then try, look, that preach is good, okay? That is great pyrotechnics when you're preaching, especially if you know that people aren't ever going to look at the Bible. But what I'm telling you is, every time the word ensample appears, put an example. You know what you're going to find out? I'll tell you what you will find out, because I've done it. You're going to find out that corny definition of ensample being a taste of it, and example is something you follow. That is a really good sermon. That is not factual. Because they will not fit. Guys, that's what I talk to you about agape all the time. If agape is one kind of love and phileo is another, then it's not going to show up just in John 21. It's got to show up throughout the Bible, right? So if you're going to say that ensample is one and example is a different one, and that they're different, you're going to give me two verses, one where example is the way you said it and one where ensample is the way you said it. You're going to give me only two. I don't trust you any more than an NIV guy. So I'm telling you, that book on your lap, if you got a 1611 King James Bible, well, mine wasn't from 1611. Look. I can pull this 45 caliber Colt out here that was manufactured last year. And it's got a safety. I don't have one. Anyway, and it can have a safety in the grip that they didn't have in 1911. And it might have a little laser sight, added to it that they didn't have in 1911. But you know what that one made last year is called? It's a Colt 1911. It's exactly right. You know what I've got? I've got a 1611 King James Bible. Well, do you have a 1638 or do you have a 1762? I have a 1611. Well, it doesn't read like 1611. I know it doesn't read exactly like 1611. Some of the spelling is different. And definitely, thankfully, the type is different. But I got a 1611. Because it's never been changed. It has never been changed. And guys, I'm telling you that because I don't want somebody to come in here. Because if you let them con you with the spelling deal, I'm telling you, if I was an anti-King James guy, I would stand in front of you guys and I'd tie you. You know what I'd have said to you? I'd have said, I'd have held your feet to the fire. I'd have made you commit to a 1611, and then I'd have pulled these three out. And you know what you'd be doing? You'd be sitting there scratching your head. And then some of you'd lose your faith in God preserving His book because you're looking for letters.
That's right, preacher.
And not words.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah. You thank God for that book. That book is perfect. That book right there, the one on the pulpit. That book is perfect. And if mine says vats or fats and yours says vats, mine's just a little more perfect. I mean, they're both the same, but mine's the one that God uses. But other than that, they're almost exactly alike, except that you're not right with God and I am. So, guys, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Take a break. I'll try to get, if somebody can come up and grab these notes, I'll let you copy those. We'll put those out someplace because there's an explanation on how to use them. And far more examples, These in these three columns, I got about a dozen words in three different 1611 King James Bibles, none of which are wrong. Right? None of which are wrong. A's not wrong. B's not wrong. C's not wrong. Because they all have the same word. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, you're going to have a higher conviction than Jesus is. I want to watch you straighten him out. We get on the other side. I'm going to watch you straighten him out. All right. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll take a break and we'll get these notes to you. Father, thank you for your book. This book, the one on the pulpit. God, the originals are gone. I can't even get my hands on an original 1611 King James Bible. But even at that, I don't need one. I've got it right here in my hand now. Thank you, God, for this book. And I know these folks believe your Bible. I know they do. I know they love your Bible. God, protect them not just from the Bible rejectors, but some of the Bible believers who will use shenanigans, God, and smoke and mirrors and pyrotechnics to try to get a dollar out of their pocket. God, they would be supporting a good thing. They would do well to give some church money that prints Bibles so they can print Bibles. They do well to do that. But God, let us get our things honestly and not leave confusion behind us in Jesus' name. Before I let you go, I've got to tell you this. There's a conversation. I've said this. I don't have anybody in mind when I say this about guys with printing ministries that are after your money. But there was a guy who did that in a church. And the pastor had lunch with him. And he said, look, you make a big deal out of Fats and Bats and Hocked and Hewed. And he said, you leave confusion with my people. And, you're making a big... You know what the guy said? He said, all we're trying to do is get some money out of them. What he said. That was his confession. All we're trying to do is get the money. So if we're going to justify what we do by what we get, what are we doing in church? Let's go down to the bar where we belong and get with our crowd.